Happy Saturday, folks. Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Got kind of a staccato drum beat, shall we say, bullets of information flying show for you today. I'm a little bit distracted. The forest fire began this afternoon, not too far from our upper ranches. I'm kind of keeping an eagle eye on it. I'm probably going to head up after this broadcast and see what I can do to secure the cabins. We have a dozer up there and water facilities, and you know, sometimes trying to do something is better than sitting around twiddling your fingers trying to do nothing. I'll keep you posted on that next show. It's called the Labonte Canyon Fire. You can look it up on InstaWeb, which is a great fire site put up by USFS. Gives you all the fires in the West, what their current conditions are, what type. This fire was just upgraded or downgraded, however you want to look at it, to a Type 3 incident, which is not good. It started about 3 this afternoon and quickly went to, I think at last count, 455 acres, mostly on BLM ground thus far. Anyway, part of the perils of living in the Rockies, I suppose, but nerve-wracking nonetheless. We had a big fire season. If you remember, you listeners from way back then, there's 300,000 more of you now than there were then, quite a few. We had those big fires, I believe, 3 years ago, all around our ranches. I think there were 5 going at once, including the Arapaho fire, which in the end consumed 100,000 acres. And stopped just, oh, half a mile or so from one of our boundaries. Anyway, on with the show. Today, I'm going to talk about some things you haven't heard about. And one thing you have heard about. And that is the debate, which was held a few days ago. I'm going to give you my thoughts on that. I'm going to give you an idea, which I think would clinch the election for the Republicans. Not that you know, the Republicans will take my idea. However, it needs to be on the table, so to speak. We're going to talk about some of Obama's new executive fiat gun control attempts. I mean, this guy, American Patriot, did a study of all his acts and lack of acts since he's been in office. Now, I haven't personally reviewed the study, but they came up with 1,063 criminal and or treasonous acts since this man took office. Next week, I'm going to be talking about, don't miss that show next week, I'm going to be talking about his ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. I've been talking about this for 2 years. I don't think any other broadcaster has been. But now a document has emerged from a whistleblower that talks about the mandate of the government to cooperate with the Muslim Brotherhood, which are, of course, radical Islamic jihadists, except that they have a plan to overthrow from within rather than through terror without. They simply fund proxy terror groups to do that. It's going to be a really good show. It'll be an eye-opener for you few, I hope it's just a few, who are still doubters as what this man really is and is not. So, we're going to do some gun control stuff today because Mr. Obama is trying to limit what about guns can be on the internet. Yeah, I'm not making this. You can't make this up. It's too pathetic. We're going to talk about China's economy. Nobody's talking about it. Oh, yes, you've heard about the stock market drop in China, etc. However, I found some information from a very reputable economic source who quotes still other even more reputable economic sources as to what, should we say, what state China's economy really is in and what would happen to us if it imploded, as it's likely to do. And I've been saying that for a while also. I'm going to be talking about the rise in healthcare costs just briefly, because everybody's been yimming and yammering and nobody has any facts or statistics, including, I might add, any of the morons. I'll take that back. Any of the folks running for president on either side of the aisle. I think it's safe to say that the folks on the Democratic side are morons. Progressive morons. That's spelled communist morons. And the fact that they lie like sieves. To just watch this never-ending parade of lies by Hillary on her email, classified documents, her server, you name it. I mean, she opens her mouth, she lies. No wonder Obama had her as his Secretary of State. What a duet, even though they don't like each other much. And Bill Clinton and Obama don't like each other at all. But that is yet another tale. And then I'm going to be talking a little bit about, shall we say, how do I put this kindly? I'm not sure there really is a way to put this kindly. But stupid government tricks, how's that? And we're going to use Venezuela as an example, because there's some things happening south of the border, down in South America with our communist friends, at least friends of Obama, not friends of virtually any other nation in the world other than Russia, China, Iran, and Cuba, that you need to know about. One more example of socialism and communism failing, as it has each and every time, without exception whatsoever, over 5,000 years of history. Yet, we have people in this country, including people in the White House, who would try and impose a system which has been a proven failure on the American people in contravention of the Constitution. That could be a whole show in itself. And in fact, I've touched on it over the last few years. Let's start off with politics, shall we? Let's start off with a debate. Let me give you maybe an insight that you haven't heard. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to run down the candidates. I'm going to tell you who I think did well. And they all had pretty good moments. And I'm going to tell you who I think did not do so well. Who I think can actually be elected, no matter what happens in the primaries. And, you know, the goal of this deal is to get a conservative president. It's not to get a conservative nominee. Let's repeat that. The goal of this process, if we're going to start restoring this country, is to get a conservative president, not a conservative nominee. A conservative nominee that cannot win the general election is of absolutely no use to America. Period. No ifs, ands, buts, or ors. 4 years of Hillary, or God forbid, 8 years of Hillary, I'm not sure we could recover after 16 years of a Hillary Barack Obama left uppercut and right cross. So, I think Kasich from Ohio did a good job. You know, I'd give it a B+, maybe shading to an A-. My personal opinion is he could probably win a general election. I think that Walker, whom, by the way, I've always liked, I think he has a lot of guts and a lot of courage, did a C job. You know, he delivered good answers. They were short. They were concise. He didn't pontificate. And I know the guy is passionate about what he does. Nobody would sit through a horrible election, an unbelievably horrible recall, and another horrible election, unless you believed in what you were doing. We're talking about in the state of Wisconsin. He's their governor. But, you know, he just doesn't get the sizzle up. Do you know what I'm saying? He just doesn't get the sizzle up. Even though I think he is bright, and he is competent, and he is determined, and he is motivated, and he has guts, he just can't convey passion. And though I used to think he might be electable, even though I think he'd be a great president, I don't think he's electable. Rand Paul, I give him a D, the only candidate I would rate below C. I thought him losing his temper with Christie showed a level of lack of self-control and immaturity that simply does not go with presidential colors. You know, we've had 7 years of that now, of petulant narcissism, of raised voices, nasty cuts. We don't need that again. Rand Paul has some good points. There are many of his points I agree with him on, although not his international policies. I certainly agree with him on, you know, let's get rid of the friggin' IRS and revise the tax system. Let's get government out of people's lives. I mean, his domestic ideas are, for the most part, great. His international ideas, for the most part, suck. You can't be an isolationist anymore, not in an age where where missiles can travel 3,000 miles in a matter of minutes. There's no such thing as the protection of the ocean. We are not in the 18th century. Some would say, unfortunately. I might be one of them. So Rand Paul is certainly not electable. I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell of him getting the nomination anyway. However, he could play an important role in a new administration. I'm going to talk about that relative to each of these guys in just a little bit. Marco Rubio, I've always liked him. I would give him an A-. Great, great performance, great answers, great one-liners, a number of moments. You know, I'm not sure he's electable. He might be. He's on the cusp. But I'm not sure he has the experience. I'm not sure he has the experience for people to trust his decision-making, although I think he would make great decisions. It's not about what I think. It really is not even about what the capabilities of these candidates are. It's about electing a conservative president who can then get rid of the shadow government of progressive, hate America, department heads, agency heads, cabinet members, czars, you name it, that Barack Obama has installed as his puppets throughout every reach and tentacle of government, quite purposefully. Did a whole series of shows on this 3, maybe 4 years ago. Go back in the archives and listen to them. I mean, exactly what I projected has come true, unfortunately. I sure wish I had been wrong. So, Marco, I like a bunch. I just don't think he has the experience to do it. However, Marco Rubio might be a great vice presidential candidate. And 4 years at least, or 8 years preferably, under a conservative president who does have executive skills and experience, I think would tune him up perfectly for 8 years as president. And I think Marco Rubio will be, at some point, President of the United States. I just don't think it's going to be this round. Although this was a second-tier debate, I want to talk about some of the candidates there, too, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to try and hit them all. Rick Perry. I've always liked Rick Perry. I think he did a hell of a job in Texas. I think he's tough. He has military background. You know, is he the most articulate guy on the planet? No. But I think he's smart. I think he knows his stuff, and I think he has good common sense, logic, and an aggressive, courageous attitude. He did not do well overall in that second-tier debate. I mean, I'd have to give him C+, maybe. However, there's a role for him in a new administration also, which we'll talk about. Carly Fiorina. Always liked her. I like her more and more as time goes on. She rocked in that second debate. I mean, she rocked it. I forget what the poll numbers were. They did Twitter, whatever the hell they did to figure out, you know, who had won, who had lost. I mean, it's all kind of nonsense. But what's not nonsense is 82% of all the respondents to this unscientific poll ranked her as the clear winner of the secondary debate. And, you know, that is an amazing percentage. And she deserved it. If you get a chance to watch the entirety of that second-tier debate, you should. It was just as instructive as the top-tier debate. And you owe it to yourself to give Carly Fiorina a close look. Is she electable? I don't know. Assuming Hillary is going to be the Democratic candidate, and I've always said I'm not sure of that, and I'm getting less sure by the minute. We're going to talk about that too, because I think there's a typical underhanded Barack Obama progressive extreme left wing little deal going on right now relative to Hillary Clinton. And I'll explain that to you in just a minute. I think you'll nod your head in agreement when I connect the dots. I don't know. Carly might be electable. I mean, as a woman, she can, and she does. Boy, I mean, she goes after Hillary with a vengeance. And it's not a nasty vengeance. It's kind of a cut her throat with a feather. It's very finessed. Very nicely done. And she is not bashful. She has a lot of guts. I like her. And she has business experience, and she is well-versed in international affairs. Maybe as well-versed as any of the 17 Republican candidates. So she has some advantages going for her. Carly would also be a terrific vice presidential candidate. She could also fulfill another role in an administration, by the way. We'll talk about that. Rick Santorum, you know, those of you who have listened to me over the years, I mean, I don't dislike the guy. It would be with extreme reluctance that I would pull the lever for Rick Santorum. There's just something about him that turns me off. And I don't know whether it's his holier-than-thou pontifications, his demeanor or his manner. I just don't know what it is, but he turns me off. And he did not do well at all, in my opinion, in the second debate. I give him a C-. And Rick Santorum is by no means whatsoever electable. I mean, at all. Pataki, the former governor of New York, in fact, at the time of 9/11, I think he turned in a decent performance. The guy knows his stuff. He's an old salt. He's an old war hound. He has some good ideas. He was a good governor of New York. Although, you know, that's kind of an oxymoron, right? I'd give him, you know, a solid B-. But he's not electable. I mean, no way. I mean, half of you probably have never even heard of him or couldn't spell his name. He's unfortunately, a relic of the past. However, he could play a role in the new administration, too, and bring some perhaps much-needed and highly stabilizing old warhorse experience and logic to a new, young administration. Back to the main tier. Christie. You know, I used to really like Christie. I really don't like Christie much anymore. The turnoff for me was his stance on guns in New Jersey that he now kind of tries to disavow. He blames it on a Democratic legislature, which may be partially true. But the real turnoff for me was during the Sandy storm. You know, when he did the big Barack Obama hug 5 days before the election, you know, with the election teeter-tottering back and forth between Romney, who didn't help himself much, and Barack Obama. That was just unforgivable. I mean, it's one thing to show gratitude to the president for being there and sending federal aid with a nice handshake and a thank you. It's a whole other thing to stroll holding hands down the beach, hugging one another. I mean, please. However, Chrissy's a tough nut. And Chrissy has prosecutorial experience. And Chrissy is no lover of radical Islamic extremism, our number one enemy, just slightly ahead of Russia, which is slightly ahead of China, which is slightly ahead of Iran. So he has a role in the new administration also. And by the way, I don't think Chris Christie is electable in a general election. I think he's kind of damaged goods. And I just don't think he's electable. Then we come to Ted Cruz. I think he had a stellar night. I have to give him an A-. You know, the guy is quick on his feet. He is really sharp. He knows his stuff. He's tougher than nails. He is absolutely, perhaps, the most consistent of all of the candidates up there, with the possible exception of Carly. I mean, he states his position, and that's his position. He doesn't change it, and he goes for it. And he doesn't really care whose toes he steps on. And he doesn't have the brashness and the abrasiveness of Trump, who we'll talk about here in a minute. So I thought Ted Cruz had a really good night. The problem is Ted Cruz is not electable. Ted Cruz cannot win, in my opinion, the general election. I mean, the left would have a field day with him. But once again, he has a role in a new administration. Donald Trump. You know, you have, you have to laugh at some of the things he comes out with. And I would imagine if I was up on that stage, I would be much like him. I would hope with a bit more finesse and a slightly wider repertoire of responses, because his responses really, when you boil them down, are all the same. I think Trump has a kind of an entertainment factor going for him, and I think Trump has a politically incorrect, tell them they're all hound dogs, who cares what anybody thinks, this is what I think. And he is speaking for a lot of people who are really fed up and frustrated. But Donald Trump is not electable. Now, I suppose if he took $2 or $3 billion of his purported, by him, $10 billion net worth and plowed it into a campaign and stayed himself, but shall we say, injected some brains into some of the comments, given the fact that you're not going to be just elected by 30% of the Republican voters in the United States. You need a much bigger coalition. You know, maybe he could pull it off. And I don't think Donald Trump would be a bad president, because I think he'd surround himself with bright people. I think he'd listen to them. I think he'd focus on what he does best. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't think there's anybody in the world that would screw with him, because they know that the result would be ugly, one way or the other. I obviously like his stance on immigration. I have some lingering doubts about his previous past, shall we say, progressive tendencies, which now seem to have disappeared by the wayside. And I think that his reluctance to renounce the possibility of a third-party candidacy if he doesn't win the Republican nomination is really a negotiating ploy. I mean, I would be surprised and hugely disappointed. It would show him to be just hot air and completely tuned out to America and tuned into himself at the expense of the country for him to run as a third-party candidate. But on the other hand, you know, having that lever, having that sword, probably keeps the Republican establishment, which, by the way, I don't have a lot of respect for, in line in terms of the, shall we say, less than friendly reception and descriptions of him that have been made. Now, although I didn't hit every candidate, Carson. That's one candidate I definitely wanted to hit. I've always liked Ben Carson. I've liked him from the very beginning when he stood up at the prayer breakfast and told Barry to shove it. I think he has guts, he has courage, he has integrity. He perhaps has the best mind of any of the candidates. Certainly, the most highly analytic. I mean, you don't get to be a neurosurgeon without analysis. And I think he has the courage, number one, to act. Number two, he is all red, white, and blue. I mean, that guy is all about America and the American values and American ideals. He had some great lines. He had some great moments in the debate. I'd have to give him an A-. You know, I don't think anybody had an A night, but there were several A- nights. And, you know, his closing was terrific. You know, everybody laughed. It was great. He got across the point with a laugh. Anytime you can do that, you're doing well. And there was one moment in the debate where he talked about if you wanted to bring America down, you would divide the people, you would increase the debt to unsustainable levels, you would strengthen your enemies, you would ignore your allies, and you would weaken your military capabilities. And you know what? I've been saying that for 4 years. That's exactly what's going on. It's not incompetence. It is a plan. So I really like him for understanding what foul play is really afoot, what dark, evil malevolence is at play in the United States right now. He gets it. He gets it. Now, whether or not Carson is electable, I don't know. I think if given a wider bully pulpit, if given a wider platform, if exposed to more people, I think he might be electable. The fact that he's black certainly doesn't hurt him. I think it helps him. So he's an interesting guy. But in any event, he has a role in the new administration too. Before I get to my idea for the Republicans to absolutely wrap this election up now and never look back, whoever the Democrats finally nominate, we'll get back to in just a moment. But let's talk about the Democratic side. So Hillary Clinton, we know she's corrupt. We know she is a narcissist. We know that above all things, she loves money. And second to money, she loves power. We know from personal accounts of all sorts of people, including former Secret Service agents who had the displeasure of trying to protect her, that she is mean, nasty, rude, intolerant. I mean, these are firsthand accounts from a number of people who worked with her while her hubby, Bill, was in the White House under the desk with Monica. So we have a person who's not very nice, who only cares about herself, who is greedy and power hungry, and a progressive to boot. That's a really ugly combination, folks. And I think more and more people are seeing it, which is why her polls are slipping. Bernie Sanders, who is, you know, let's face it, not the world's greatest candidate. I mean, he's 72 years old, an avowed socialist, you know, with the wild white hair. I mean, you know, it's kind of like Back to the Future. You're waiting for the car to kind of wow, materialize in sparks and skids and, you know, let's go back to 1984. Long live Che Guevara. I mean, that's Bernie Sanders. And, you know, he's within a few points of her in New Hampshire. Holy smokes. I don't think that's a reflection on how great Bernie is. I think it's a reflection on how distasteful Hillary Clinton is, including to a growing, you might say, a growing avalanche of Democrats. And, you know, there's enmity, and there has been since the 2008 campaign, when Barry beat out Hillary, who was supposed to be the shoe-in, for the Democratic nomination. And the enmity is really between Bill Clinton and Barry. It's a very interesting dynamic. Now, we know that Barry loves to get back at his enemies, and that he's very patient, as progressives are, until he has the opportunity. We know that Barry is fairly close to Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is a yes guy, and Barry really likes yes guys. And we know that progressives like to kill more than one bird with one stone. So what better way to continue his legacy than to get his vice president into the presidency, screw his enemy, the Clintons, at the same time, and of course, remain in the limelight himself, the narcissist that he is, but to make sure that Joe Biden gets the nomination. You know, there are no coincidences, right? And there are no coincidences in politics either. Just as in life, no coincidences in politics. So let's think back, shall we? For the last 6 plus or minus months, we've known about Hillary's emails, her deletion of emails, the subpoenas that she's ignored, her illegal private server. We've known about all this. Yet the Justice Department under Eric Holder did nothing. We now have Lynch in there, appointed by Obama. And, you know, she may be a bit more independent than Eric Holder, but I doubt it. She takes her orders from the boss. And there was no investigation. There was no whisper of the FBI this, the FBI that. Anybody looking into anything, it was just all big cover-up. But now, with Hillary sinking in the polls, a possible opening for the Democratic nomination, last week we hear these rumors by several news sources that Joe Biden's top guy, his chief of staff, is meeting with top Democratic fundraisers. Joe Biden himself says he hasn't ruled out perhaps getting into the race. Barack Obama, 5 days ago, with his arm around his buddy Joe, says, you know, Joe would be a good president. And then 2 days ago, gee, what a coincidence. The FBI announces that they have started an investigation of Hillary Clinton's email saga. And it's a criminal investigation. You know, Hillary Clinton and Bill have escaped criminal consequences for their criminal activities since way back in what's called the Whitegate, the Whitewater firms. And I'm not going to go into that right now. It was a huge scandal in Arkansas. But, you know, they have broken laws left and right since the beginning of time. They broke them taking foreign money for their foundation while Hillary was given the nations that gave the foundation money and arranged $500,000 speeches for her hubby Bill, giving them favors, giving them arms, approving their deals, you name it. I mean, even a 2-year-old with a crayon could connect these dots. And so Barack Obama, I believe, wants Joe Biden to be the nominee. He wants to get back at the Clintons. And he has told Loretta Lynch, now that Hillary is kind of staggering around under the weight of her own illegal, immoral, unethical acts and lack of acts. Suddenly the FBI has launched a criminal investigation. Trust me on this. There would be no criminal investigation by the FBI if the orders didn't come from the White House. You can bank on that. So I see kind of a coup d'etat underway in the Democratic Party. And my warnings to you that Hillary might not be, I use the word might in previous shows, might not be the candidate, might not be the Democratic presidential nominee. I'm going to upgrade that word might to probably might not be. And I bet you in the next few weeks, I'm probably going to upgrade it to will likely not be. Because I think she's being deposed. And Barry is behind it all, pulling the switches with Valerie and Michelle and the rest of their little clan. Because they want their boy Biden in the White House. And they want to end once and for all the Clintons' ascendancy to power. You know, Barack Obama doesn't like people who have more power than he does. And if the Clintons are in the White House, they will have more power than he does. So, that's my thoughts on the Democratic side. Now, on the Republican side, if the Republicans want to clinch this nomination, I mean, the odds of this happening are remote, to say the least. If they want to clinch this nomination, they should rally around one or two people who are electable. Maybe Kasich for the top spot, Rubio for the second, or Kasich for the top spot, and Carly for the second. Or Kasich for the top spot, Walker for the second. And there are some other combinations too. I'm not saying Kasich is the man, but you get the idea. And once these people, so that they spare themselves the next 6 months of beating each other up and 15 people on stage winging around and screaming at one another like Rand Paul and Christie were the other night, although it was a fascinating exchange. And those two men, or men and women, whatever, should then select their cabinet then. Don't wait to be elected. Put it up out front. This is our team. You're not just electing me, and you're not just electing my vice presidential running mate. You're electing this team. These are the 12 people who are going to walk in with me and be the cabinet secretaries from day one. And each of them is going to have their mission, and each of them has their skill and expertise. For example, Chris Christie, as the Attorney General, he'd rock at that. He'd rock at that. The Muslim Brotherhood would no longer be welcome in the White House. That's a good thing.